their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. It is our prayer that it is informational for you, educational, inspirational, and as we face the issues together, we always invite you to call in, ask your question, give your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today what salvation is not. You ever thought about that? What salvation is not. Just recently, I was shocked, appalled, and saddened to hear an impromptu interview with President Donald J. Trump while on Air Force One, headed to one of his meetings. And Peter Doocy, Fox News interviewer or a Fox News anchor person, Peter Doocy asked the question to President Trump about a previous statement that President Trump had made about whether or not he'd go to heaven. And this is President Trump's response. "I don't think there's anything that can get me into heaven. I think I am not heaven bound," end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a profoundly sad statement. President Trump has an entire cabinet that claims to be saved, albeit the overwhelming majority of them are either Hindu, Roman Catholic, or other that has all kinds of denominational dogma attached to what is biblical salvation. I'm saddened that some of the Christian voices around him evidently have not taken time to sit with him and go through the plan of salvation and point out to our president what must be done to be saved. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at the scripture. We're going to talk about what is not biblical salvation. We'll look at some denominational dogma. We'll look at some rites, rituals, rules, and regulations that's believed to be salvation. And we'll talk about what is not salvation. Then we're going to look at, as the final portion of the broadcast today, what is biblical salvation? How can a person truly be born again? And then the underpinning footnote to that, can you be sure that you're saved? How to know that we're saved? So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, once again, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not always sought. Truth is many times very elusive. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that made this statement in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said this, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that we're at the very apex of that today. There's a disdain, a rejection, a refusal to embrace truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the decline of America is based on the death of truth. DeMint said this, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today. Listen, even in our Christian churches. That's a very fitting statement for today's broadcast, because there are a number of people, perhaps you're listening today, perhaps you fall into that category. I do not know. I'm not making it as a condemnatory statement, but as a fact, biblically. There are a lot of people, multitudes perhaps, that are listening today, that you're a good person. You pay your bills. You don't kick the dog, cuss the cat, and beat your wife. You are an upright citizen, and you're a member of a local church. You perhaps even give money, but that doesn't mean you're saved. We need to examine the Scripture and see what salvation is not, what salvation is, and then how can a person know if they're saved. May I say to you, we need to get back to the fundamentals of the faith. What does the Word of God say to us today? It is the truth book. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we seek the truth. And if Jesus Christ in John 14:6 says, I am truth, then we need to go back to the Word to find truth. Seek the truth. Listen to it. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Tell it. And be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. That's the challenge that every Christian should face up to and recognize is needed in today's society. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowner. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's located at the intersection of the Beltway of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. Men, thank you so much for being here. Say a few words, Dr. Davis, and then Dr. Phelps.
Certainly, Dr. Youngblood, I thank God for being able to be back with you. And Dr. Phelps, amen again. Amen on another great and wonderful, amen, Friday morning that amen. The Lord has made.
That's right.
Amen. Truly, amen. We can rejoice and be glad in it.
That's right.
But I thank God, amen, also that I'm saved. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm saved because I made the choice to be.
That's right.
After hearing the Word of God, amen, and realizing the great plan of salvation that he set aside for us before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. I could have choose to either be saved or to be condemned if I would have stayed like I was. In other words,
yep.
We came here wrong. We were born wrong in sin, mm-hmm. Scripture say, and we were shaped in iniquity. So for that reason, we ought to understand we don't have a leg to stand on before God. So the only way that we can get right with God and be a part of his family, amen, is to be born again. A change has to be made, amen.
Amen.
So I thank God for that on today.
Amen.
Good
yes,
morning
sir.
To my bride of 39 years, everyone else, amen, that's listening. Amen. All of you that I've asked to tune in, amen, by ilovethetruth.com. Amen. Good morning to you.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here.
I'm so thankful today that I have a living, risen Savior.
Amen.
And to know that I have in Christ all I need, and the hope that I have is based upon the Word of God. I'm so thankful. This is the day the Lord has made. That's truly wonderful. But one of the songs that I have been using recently to sing praises to the Lord is the one that says that God is wonderful. Oh Lord, my God, how wonderful thou art. God has a great plan of salvation, and we only have to rest in him. We don't have to rely upon our ability to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so let's follow the words of the scripture. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. God is a refuge for us.
Amen. Amen.
I like that. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, as we start our journey through the question of what salvation is not, I'm reminded of one that was called the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler asked Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Dr. Phelps, read that for us. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and following. Matthew 19, 16 and following. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're asking that question. What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? I believe that's the question that our president is asking without saying so. He's doing a lot of good things, and he's thinking he's got to accumulate the good things. Dr. Phelps, that text that we just spoke of, Matthew 19, 16 and following, read that and then remark about that. Tell us, what is it saying? What's Jesus saying? Because the rich young ruler asked the right question, but yet it was the wrong question. Explain that to us. Read it. Talk about it.
Matthew 19, 16 and following. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus responded by calling his attention to God's standard for righteousness. That's the law of Moses. God had given the law of Moses to the people of Israel, and it would make them a very distinct or unique people on the face of the earth. And by their righteous kind of living, they would be a testimony to the rest of the world to draw all people unto God. However, Jesus was trying to point out to him that he has missed the mark. Mm-hmm. He has come short of God's standard of righteousness. And when he asked which, Jesus named some of them.
That's right, part of the Ten Commandments. Right?
And he did not mention the one that he was going to deal with, and that is, thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. This man, after talking with Jesus, and after Jesus told him what to do, and so that was his question, what shall I do? Jesus told him, sell everything you have, mm-hmm. give to the poor, and come follow me. And the man went away in sorrow because he had great possessions. Problem was, that possessions were possessing him.
Yes.
And therefore, like many people today, people allow the things that God has created, God has given us, to be our master, our Lord. And that's what we're trusting in. But Jesus is trying to show him that he needed to turn from covetousness to the true and living God.
Absolutely.
For in him we have the hope of eternal life.
That's right. And one of the things I find so intriguing, challenging, and a teachable point in Jesus dealing with the rich young ruler, because the little rich young ruler had said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Thinking that you could do something good. And when Jesus gave him a list of portion of the Ten Commandments, I'm sure that young ruler's chest was swelling with pride, thinking, well, since I was confirmed, if you please, in Judaism, he says in his heart, I've been doing all of those things. And Jesus, like you said, told him, sell what you've got, give it to the poor. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean that you got to be poor to be saved. That doesn't mean that you got to give everything away to be saved. That's not the point that Jesus was making. Jesus was trying to point to the rich young ruler, as Dr. Phelps just mentioned, that covetousness, you cannot allow the things of the world to control you. God has given us that responsibility. Yes.
Well, another thing I would like to point out, too, is that the reason for the giving of the law was not only to make God's people, Israel, a special people, but it was given to show the sinfulness of mankind by making sin a transgression. That's what Apostle John said. That we must realize, however, that there are some things the law could not do. Mm-hmm. You can't rely upon the law for salvation and eternal life.
Right.
The law required righteousness, but it didn't provide the righteousness mm-hmm. that God desired. And it didn't make people righteous. The law could not justify a person in the sight of God. The law is actually a ministration of condemnation. According to Galatians chapter 3 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And so the Bible is a book of truth, both Old and New Testament. But God gave the law for a special reason, and it was not to bring salvation to a person. It was to bring us to the Savior.
To the Savior, absolutely. Show what we could not do. Yes. So, Dr. Davis, with that being said, the point that I want us to understand and our listeners to understand, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done that saves us. And yet there are a lot of people today, and many perhaps listening, that think they're doing good works. Why is it, Dr. Davis, that the accumulation of good works will not save us? What do you say about that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, we have to realize that same question that the rich young ruler asked back during that time, what must I do? They're still asking that same question today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are.
That's right.
Now, we have to understand that, like Dr. Phelps just got finished saying, the law couldn't make us righteous, and God didn't give the law in order to make anyone righteous.
Right.
The law was given so that we would know how to approach a holy God and how to worship him. Mm-hmm. We could not come into his presence full of sin. So the law was given to expose sin.
That's right.
In a person's life. And once you get that sin out of the way, deal with it. Let God deal with it, not you. Because it ain't, there's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous. That's not what I'm getting at. We have to turn that over to Jesus, in other words. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I believe you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have to turn that all over to Jesus in order for him to make us righteous. And once he cleanses us and washes us and fills us with the Holy Spirit, now we are able to approach a holy God.
Yes.
So when we consider all of these things together in a nutshell, we have to understand that even today, we still don't have a leg to stand on.
That's right.
Because we have to wade through denominations and doctrinal formulas that's been set aside by mankind to, in other words, make us think we can do something
right.
Righteous.
Yes, we want to talk about that in a minute, getting into the denominational dogma, the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, take a moment and read Ephesians 2:9. I think that is a pivotal statement in Ephesians 2:9 that our listeners need to understand and embrace, because many people think that they can do good works. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've never verbalized it. Perhaps you are treading that bicycle, knocking on doors, passing out Wake and Watchtower magazines, or knocking on the doors and peddling a bicycle, or in some cases driving a little Honda, whatever it may be, someplace in the world to be on your mission to do good works. There are a number of Christian cults today, as it is called, that believe that somehow, some way, you can accumulate works, and enough works compiled will earn salvation for you. Dr. Phelps, there's one verse, there are a number of verses, but one that comes to my mind, Ephesians 2:9, Read Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
That point, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. I've said many times, if a person could do good works and get to heaven because of the good works, when we get there, we wouldn't be able to stay in heaven because somebody going up down the hallways of heaven bragging about the good works they'd done. It just doesn't work. But Dr. Davis, there is a place for good works. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Read that to us, because James is basically saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, show me your works. In other words, what James is saying in that text, and Dr. Davis will read it in a moment, James is simply saying, oh, you say you're saved? Show it by your works. Salvation is not by works. But if we have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, there will follow good works. What does it say in that text, Dr. Davis?
If we start with verse 14, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not good works? Can faith save him? Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Amen. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So you see, he's answering all these questions for us about the good works. Even Apostle Paul said, when he talked about love in the love chapter, if he give away all his possessions, give his body to be burned, and if you have not charity, which is love, which is God, mm-hmm. God is love, he said, what does it profit me?
It's all for naught.
So we have to realize that we're facing the same thing. Mm-hmm. I see people doing that all the time. In fact, I saw a few years back when they asked Oprah Winfrey a question, because, you know, she gives away, you know, money and cars and different things to people, you know, mm-hmm. at various times. I haven't seen her do it in a long time, but she used to do that a while back on her show.
Right.
And they started asking her about the good things that she was doing. Did she thought that was going to be a way for her to make it into the kingdom of God. And then they asked her, do you think that Jesus Christ is the only way to get into the kingdom of God? And she turned around and said, I wouldn't say that he's the only way.
Right.
How sad. This yeah. lets me know that even though you're saying, you're confessing Christianity out of one side of your mouth, you're not really believing in the word of God.
Absolutely. That's
because
the
word says, Jesus said, I am the way.
That's it. Only
Amen.
Way. The only way.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps?
God's salvation is in a person.
Right.
And that's why both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we read verses like Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, there's none else. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the way,
right.
the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, God gave his Son to us as a Savior, and God gives salvation to us as a free gift.
Absolutely. Not of works, lest any man should boast,
yes.
the Scripture says. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're well.
Yes, I am. Thank God. I'm questioning myself also because, I mean, I've done every drug up under the sun, and I've prayed and asked the Lord to deliver me from it. And he did. As a matter of fact, he saved my life. I had a hole in my small intestine, and he delivered me from that. They told me my body, you know, could heal itself. I said, I'm almost 100 years old. How my body going to heal itself? But, I mean, I talk about the Lord on the job and everything, but I'm still trapped. Because I know Jesus is the only way. But I'm still trapped. I smoke cigarettes, not as much as I used to, and drank beer. not as much as I used to. But I'm questioning my own salvation, to tell you the truth.
Dr. Davis, what would you say to Kenneth?
Well, my brother, let me encourage you to give all of your whole self over to Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm a living witness. Yeah. I used to do the same things when I was out in the world. Amen. I smoked, I drank, I did all these things. Amen. But when I came to Christ in 1985, November the 29th, if I'm looking at November the 29th, 2025, this year will make 40 years that I've not smoked, I've not drank, I've not done anything outside of the confines of the Word of God, because the love of God through the Holy Spirit is now in my heart, and I don't want to do nothing but obey God and please Him. Mm-hmm. And He can do the same thing for you. He can deliver you right now. But you have to say yes completely to Jesus.
So
you can't
surrender.
Say yes out of one side of your mouth and turn around and say, God, I think I can handle this part. I don't need you over here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can do this part myself.
Right.
There is nothing you can do to save yourself, and there's nothing you can do to break those habits that are still dominating in your life because you're not giving them over to Christ. Give over totally. Sell out to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Phelps?
The Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 6 some wonderful truths about how to be an overcomer. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 6. God tells us in that passage, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now that means that when I or you or anyone will be willing to yield our whole person, all of our person, to God, then He will set us free from the bondage of sin.
Right.
Another passage is John chapter 8. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Absolutely. And Jesus said, if the Son has made you free, you're free indeed.
Amen.
So freedom from the control of sin is found in a person, not in our willpower.
Not in works and not in willpower.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's right. Kenneth, I pray that that's been beneficial and a blessing to you. I would suggest,
yes,
as kind of a footnote to that, I would suggest that at a point in time, you just simply go to the Lord personally, privately, and say, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and save me. Let me live for you because you died for me. And do that with all of your heart, and He will free you from what you're speaking of today. But God bless you, and we'll be praying that God will use this broadcast for your benefit, for eternal life.
Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much for your
Amen.
Call.
He can make you a brand new Kenneth.
That's right.
You don't have to be the same Kenneth going forward, Brother Kenneth. Be encouraged. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Just sell out totally. Give it all over to Christ. I'm a living witness today. He will do it. Amen.
Amen.
If
Absolutely.
You would just let Him do it.
Absolutely. And one of the things, man, that I would like for us to think about as we wrap up this portion of today's broadcast, there's a great need, and I'm burdened with the statement President Trump made. If salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the Scripture says. Pray, let's pray and ask our audience to pray that God will send someone to cross the path of President Donald J. Trump that will be brave enough, bold enough, and sincere enough, and concerned enough to sit with him and show him the plan of salvation and invite him to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe that's needed today, and I'm very, very concerned about that because salvation is not of works, and he needs to understand that. And ladies and gentlemen, secondly, salvation is not of baptism.
Amen.
Salvation is not a baptism. Perhaps you're listening today and you say, I've been christened, I've been baptized, I've been sprinkled, I've been immersed, whatever you may say as the mode of baptism. I want to talk about that right after the news, because baptism does not save a single person on the face of the globe. You can add up the baptisms all you want to and still be lost and go to a devil's hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL.